Hey, Vinyl Countdown at the Imperial Pub with a constant, frequent guest, Scarborough Dude, who we constantly have on.
All the time. It's like...
We definitely didn't go like 7 years without having him on.
It's like, you're probably bored of him, but here he is again.
It's getting fucking routine. Yeah. And that's... I don't like routine in life. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something real quick, because before we were recording, I didn't want to record it, because it's, you know, it's a personal shit about everyone's families and such and such.
That was the best stuff I had. Like, that's my... Like, I've already given you my best. It's downhill from now on. The lines I gave out about loneliness and
old age... Bitch can't grab a slice. Thanks, everybody. Oh, my God.
No. In general, though, I got a general question about... Because you were talking about, you know, Joel's kids are getting into the late one digits, whatever you call that, and Scarborough Dude's kids are pretty grown up. I just turned 40, so I'm, like, really... I guess not a kid anymore, but I was thinking that whole thing, like, we all have similar stories of, like, our dads weren't really particularly great dads, and how do you be a dad now and whatever. But what do you think of the idea that no matter how crappy your dad was, you're alive, so maybe you should just get over it?
Yeah, there's some merit to that for sure. Yeah,
because, like, I really do feel, again, I think anyone just chills out as they get older, but yeah, now that I'm officially also a grown-up, I mean, I was annoyed by my dad when I was 20, but now I'm like, I'm just lucky that guy fucked somebody. And then,
this is the thing: is you have to be lucky you exist, however it came about, or whatever sperm and egg, whatever. You are you, and you're a unique individual, and you got to celebrate that. Like, hey, there's only one fucking of you exactly like on the planet. Like, you look at the ants, they freak the hell out of you. They've all got their jobs. They all look the same. Nobody steps out of lines at communist China at its ultimate worst. And yet, here we are, fucking freaks hanging out in the Imperial Pub. It's a wonderful thing to do. What I'm thrilled about, and I'm hung up about it, but was this beat generation of the 50s, you know, for late 40s, 50s, listening to good music, out.
Well, not to cut you off, but I remember back, like, in the day when we started. That's the polite Canadian way to cut someone off. Yeah. But I just remember when we started this podcast. Well, that's the secret I've learned about Canadians. That's a different topic. But we're actually not nice.
Stop cutting off his cutoff.
Yeah. Just when this podcast started, I remember you related us to the Beats. The whole not just Vinyl Countdown, but all of the podcast night people. You're like, yeah, it's like the new Beats. But how do you feel 10 years later that none of us have really accomplished shit? Are you still proud of us?
Well, that's so Beat. That's the whole point of the Beats. You don't accomplish shit. You're not supposed to. To be Beat is to just, you're living, man. You're living.
Oh, good, then we did it. We did it, Joel.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Should I stop working on this novel I'm writing? I don't want to accidentally accomplish something.
Keep going. It gives you lots of material.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some merit to this being sort of the Beats in a lot of ways, because podcasting now is, like, so corporate.
I think what the Beats celebrated was the uniqueness of their individuals. Now, I'm reading something now, and this blows me away, that I hadn't before. It's called Go, and it's by... The name escaped me, and it's such an obvious one. Sure. Doesn't matter. It was published before Kerouac's On the Road. It's 1952. John Cleland Holmes is the writer. He was with them, but he was more conservative, so he was even more of an observer than Kerouac was. And this whole novel is about Allen Ginsberg, Jack Kerouac, Ed Hinkle, William Burroughs, all those characters that this guy was living with at that time in real life. It's not somebody, I did the research and I'll look back. No, he was of that group, but he was always a little more conservative. But he wrote this first book, and I've had it in my collection forever, and finally started reading. And they're describing a party in somebody's shitty old tenement apartment, and, you know, they go out and they get some weed, it's a big deal, and they're getting high and they're getting drunk, and people are out on the floor, and they got the radio, they got some late night jazz in New York City, and it's for fucking real. But I feel we're doing that. Like, we're individuals, and this is what they're saying. It's a celebration of the individual. Be who you are. Be that fucking weird poet guy. Be that dreamer. Be Keith. Be you. Be our individual. You don't have to fucking fit into a box. And be normal.
So I think this is something that, like, I would say that your generation unlocked for the world.
No, they unlocked it for my generation. The Beats. I'm holding Henry Miller as the honorary godfather of it all. Henry fucking Miller.
They unlocked it for your generation. Yes. Your generation normalized individuality.
We didn't even do it. It was done to us and with us. So I don't give the hippies or the 60s movement any credit at all, but I'm so fucking glad I was born in that time. I mean, that's how I can talk the way I'm talking, because, hey, our fathers are doing one thing. We're down in the basement smoking hash, listening to Pink Floyd and this fucking weird music. Hey, we've decided there's two parallel worlds going on. There's the world of the status quo and our parents and maybe older brother siblings. And there's us. We just like to get high and listen to music, man. This is fun. And sit around a water pipe and hang out. Like, that's fun.
So, I don't know how this vinyl countdown, everybody. This is the deepest podcast that we know. But I don't know how we got to this place of going from, like, hippie individualism and, like... Well, there's still further things to freak people out, right?
It's why we laugh at hipsters, because it's people are trying to find a place to fit. Like, what do I have to wear? What do I have to say? What do I have to read? What do I have to like? What do I have to watch? What music do I have to listen to fit in somehow and be accepted as, oh, yeah, he's a cool guy. The issue of just being yourself and knowing, like, to a lot of people, you're just a piece of shit. You know, but, you know, okay. Hey, all right, I'm doing my best. Fuck you. You know?
Can I show you something? This is my favorite recent example of how I'm starting to realize more and more how it's not cool to be yourself and to just be super individual. So I bought these shoes at Value Village, and they didn't quite fit. So I just cut out the back of them. See that? Yeah. And now
that's
they fit
me.
Perfect.
That's how he does.
But shouldn't I be embarrassed that I don't feel bad about wearing shoes
I think you're not embarrassed. I think you're damn proud of that. Right? But I guess you should be.
Yeah, like, I guess this is the point, is like, this is the anti-hipster, the anti-pop, is if you actually do just do your own thing, you're not even a little cool. People look down on you.
So, interesting story is I bought this really sweet pair of Adidas Gazelles from Valley Village the other day. Mm-hmm. And they're my shoe size, but they're like this fake snake skin, and I put them on and they hurt. So my version of that was to order a shoe stretcher off eBay for $7.
You outbeat him on that fucker.
I tried that though. I've been down that road where what I did is I just put water in my shoe and then put it in the freezer so the water would expand and stretch the shoe, but it just didn't work. It wasn't enough. So nowadays I'm just like, fuck it, I'll just make a slit down the back of the shoe and I'm all set.
But it's weird now that it's
getting snowy because there's this slit in my shoe, so if I go in snow more than an inch high, it's a problem.
I don't think it was the best possible solution or outcome for any of this, but still, I mean, it was a step.
You know, you did it.
It's trial and error.
But yeah, it's almost weird. Or this belt. I'm wearing this belt that is a little bit too big for me, so I made a knot in the belt.
I've made an extra hole, but I've never made a knot.
I make holes with my drill. I really
should have done that. Because why don't I just get a new belt? Because I was at a concert. My friend Matt invited me to a thing. And just when they're doing the pat down, the lady felt the little bump. And I was like, oh, no, it's just the knot in my belt. And she just, like, laughed. She's like, okay, buddy. Like, whatever.
Now, was it uncomfortable at all? Was it cut?
Well, it's a little awkward when I take the belt out because it's got this big knot in it. That's the only problem. But it is just like, what is going on with me? Like, I think it's hit a point of almost like... there's just something just weird happening that I don't, like, it would be so little effort to just look like a citizen. But I'm like, nah, I'll just have a knot in my belt and a cut in my shoe. So it's weird too with the idea of, I wonder with, like, the Beats, I don't really know that much about them, but I wonder how many groups there were like them that never got famous.
Them. Like, they learned from the other people. They read other people and did this stuff. But they kind of popularized it in North America. They said, hey, we're going to hang out. We're going to get high. What are those black guys doing smoking up there in Harlem who are, you know, listening to this, you know, Mingus and all the music? And they,
now, this is, I mean, I'm just going to make a small point here.
Make a big point. Balls out, Joel. Balls out tonight.
The Beats were recognized because they were white. So think about this.
They didn't let people in with him.
No, I hear that.
You're right.
But what I'm saying is, like, they got the idea from watching black dudes smoke weed.
Those
guys were probably also smoking weed and writing shit.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Well, they acknowledge that. And this is where we're going up to the clubs, going up to Harlem, going up to score some stuff. That's where we're going to go and get this shit. But so they were hip enough to figure, hey, this is cool. I want some of that.
But they were also, and this is just like a white privilege thing, is like that, you know, just, look at his face. I love this.
Bring old white privilege into the beats. Oh, my
okay,
God.
Boomer. Anyway.
Oh, my God. They should take you out and shoot you for that.
But you know what I'm saying.
I know what I'm saying.
It's like the beats. But the thing is, they didn't have fucking white privilege.
Allen Ginsberg's mother was insane, locked up in an insane asylum, getting shock treatment. His father is a teacher.
He was an outright homosexual.
When a time when it was dangerous.
I'm going to disagree with you. They might not have had privilege, but they still had white privilege.
I refuse to go any further on.
Okay.
We're giving a topic.
Okay.
Well, I was thinking just as far as influential groups like that, and like I wonder how many there were that just never had the good PR or that caught on in a larger scale. Because I always feel this way with every little group. Like, in my hometown, I'm like, man, all my friends are so talented. It's going to be so cool in the future when they're all famous and I knew them. And then in New York, I felt the same way. Like, oh, all these people are going to be famous someday, and I'm going to say I knew them. And then Vinyl Countdown, I'm like, yeah, we're all the best. But now it's been 10, 20 years in all these cases, and no one has ever done anything, and no one will. And I'm like, I guess that's fine, too.
You're chasing the wrong dream. You don't want fame. You want the independence to still be yourself without somebody having put you into a box and forced you to conform.
I think
that kind of freedom. Hey, I can still, you at your age, you can still get away with being who you are. Fucking right. Keep going. Don't give in. You can't give in now. Younger you would never forgive you.
All fame, that urge to be famous is really, you just want to be recognized, right?
You want to be validated.
That's right.
That's the word I've come up with. It's validated. And sometimes I put out a really fucking good podcast. The Dixon James podcast. That's a fucking record, man. I mean, it's not just the least, but I feel good about
that podcast there.
Well, you'd find it. Google the Scarborough dude, which has been a fun persona to play. Like, I've had fun playing. I can get away. And you know what I realized the other day? Holy fuck. When anybody Googles that, I'm not doing anything for Scarborough. There are a lot of people out there doing things for Scarborough. I'm using that name. It's like I should almost be taxed by the city for
I think you're representing. You're representing.
Well,
Scarborough.
Representing.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
You know, remember that back in the day, I made that podcast. It was like clips from Dixon James, and it was all just about your stories of going to Morocco and going to Japan, and then the Russian trip and stuff. So I re-listened to that podcast while I was in Japan, and it was really cool just to hear your stories of going to Japan while I was there. Because I was thinking about that, like for me, it was nice to finally go to Japan, but it was easy. Like, I booked my flight online, I just got Airbnbs, I got money through the bank machine at 7-Eleven. Like, everything was so easy. And I couldn't stop thinking about that. I'm like, imagine how hard this must have been when Ken did this. Like, it must have been way harder.
The hardest, I had friends, like, we took this TESOL program at Carleton, and so I knew two other people in there. One guy was the loser of our group. Everybody in that class got angry when this guy passed and got the same certificate we did. Like, he didn't do anything. He seemed crazy. And he ended up in close to Tokyo, outside. And I stayed with him, and he had an American, a New Zealand girl, and they were drunks. They were the biggest drunks. And the American was an asshole. Apparently he had a wife in Korea. He was here. He'd go into a bar, and then he'd start talking about the stupid fucking Japs and just get drunk. And always there was a fight. You know, holy fuck, I don't want to stay in this house. But it was such a blessing, because these people, who hated Japan so much, they would watch the stuff TV and just laugh and so on. I got to get the fuck out of here. And just left. And I've been blessed with good luck. How many people go to Japan, you got to get this apartment, that bullshit. I happen to apply to the one ad that's run by an ex-pilot who's got a ton of money, married to a Japanese, living up on the cliff in Yokohama. He says, I'm not trying to make money, but I got this building. I'm just renting it out. Here you go. Cheap rent, none of this key money and all the extra. And here's 48 beer. Here's a dozen steaks. Here's all the stuff from the base, because you're going to need this shit.
Wow.
And gave it to me. Now that is fucking lucky. I get hired by a company. 1984. I got my paper, I got my ticket. I get hired. I, in a very short time, I'm the drinking partner, one of the many, but a drinking partner of the president of the company, him and his mistress. And I'm out, and it's always the end of the night. Here's Ichiman Yen, $100, take a taxi home, see ya. And out on his tab and all the bars. Like, when I tell you this story, and it's true, I can't believe how fucking lucky I've been in my life. Like, that shit doesn't... Yeah, I'd be in a bar. He walks in, he's handsome. Like, Hollywood handsome, charisma, everybody starts. The mama song, whoa, all you girls. His table. Bam, his bottle key comes out. I've got two women on either side of me in their short skirts, giggling, feeding me drinks, feeding me little straws. And that's my job, is to sit there and he wants me to have fun. And no money is exchanged. That mama-san sends a bill to the accountant at the end of the month to take care of
him. Oh,
no
my
exchange.
God, that is the greatest. That's
he drove us off drunk in a Porsche Carrera in Tokyo that he got. Like, there had to have been Yakuza influences here. He rented the biggest ship in Japan like 3 years in a row, couldn't pay it off, it was a continual loss, and now is in hiding. The president, this is my drinking buddy, is in hiding in South America.
Wow, so you got all the bonus, the good parts, but you were like protected from the Yakuza bad parts.
I was protected, and I had that bonus. Then we hiring, getting the job, and they say, okay, well, now I don't have a visa. That's fine, we're going to fly you to Hong Kong. The Hong Kong staff lines up. They have a branch office there. Four guys at the airport in suits, hands like this, greeting me like I'm just some fucking gaijin who went to Japan. You guys are treating me like I'm a big star in this company. Put me in a hotel. What would you like to do tomorrow? I toured New York City with the president of my company, with our own driver, with my book of the beats in New York, saying, okay, we got to stop at this building. The building where fucking William Burroughs, Jack Kerouac, Allen Ginsberg all met, hung out together. I said, that building. And the boss is saying, well, who are these beats? Hey, we're going to go to another place. It's where Kerouac wrote the scroll. That building up there. The addresses are here. And the bar where they hung out. But this is with the same Japanese company. Like, it is so fucking unreal. Now, I know I'm high now. My life has been so fucking... Kill me right fucking now, man.
It makes me think of like...
I feel guilty about it.
Like a trapeze artist, in a circus. Like, you're on your trapeze and you just, like, leap out and you just gotta have that faith that someone's gonna grab you. And someone grabbed you.
That's a nice way of putting it. And it never fucking failed. And because my philosophy, my belief, and it's worked for me, is I was born lucky. I'm always going to be lucky. It's an inexhaustible supply of luck. It doesn't run out. Period. Bam. There it is.
And then, post this, you're going to get hit by a bus.
Dying of some horrible disease. That's part of it. Hey, lucky. Could have been a whole lot worse. I know that.
I mean, you're already old as hell, so you pretty much made it.
Yeah.
So, the other day, a very old friend of mine messaged me on Facebook to say hi. D-Than, sup? But as we were talking, we realized how many of our people didn't make it. You know,
right.
One kid died of AIDS.
Yeah.
Another got cancer. You know, like we're comparing notes about like, hey, who's still around? Who do you talk to? You know, and it's funny. It's like we don't all make it.
Yeah.
You know,
nobody cares because they've already had white privilege.
So. These are not white people, by the way.
Well, they're not white people.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I take that back. Sorry if I offended anybody out there.
Yeah. I'm only saying this because of the. I'm saying if the beats went to the source was the blacks in Harlem, then why couldn't the blacks in Harlem be the beats? That's what I'm saying.
Why couldn't they be the beats? They were the inspiration. They were the artists. They were the musicians. That's who they went to
name
see.
One of them.
And so on. I mentioned Mingus, best, most famous.
Jazz musicians.
Oh no, that's who they were. They were only listening to jazz. They only cared about jazz.
But
they listened to pop, TV, radio stuff, and so on. But I don't know if you're trying to pin something on them. If you're doing this revisionist history,
I'm just talking about their luck. And
it's their message, really. And their message was, you got one fucking life. Enjoy it. Live it. That was Kerouac's, anyway.
Yeah, no.
Ginsberg and others are a little more poetic in their ambitions. But Ginsberg should be recognized as such a big fucking national hero in America. To have transcended, to have been that gawky homosexual kid meeting up with this handsome sailor, you know, Jack Kerouac and so on, writers and artists. And being turned on to all these drugs and so on. And just... I forget where I was going with that.
But it does seem...
They lived their lives. They were heroes. Oh, yeah, I think Ginsberg should have been the biggest. Because the first to come out and transcend like Ken Kesey, but transcend the Beats to the hippie movement. It's when they have the love-in in San Francisco. It's Ginsberg sitting on the stage with flowers and a robe and cymbals and lighting incense and saying Om, you know. And he wasn't just he was that role, but he transcended the Beats. He was one of the first to work with Timothy Leary and say, okay, listen, Leary, all these academics are getting the drug. If you're a PhD student, you can get in Leary's class at Harvard and take LSD and psilocybin, okay? And Ginsberg convinces Leary, no, you got to give it to the artists, man. It's the artists who need this stuff. And was influential in getting Timothy Leary to get everybody else and turned on to acid. So he's a hero. He's a larger-than-life hero. But nobody fucking knows. Oh, yeah, well, oh, best you can do. Oh, he wrote a poem called Howl. Yeah. And that was pretty, you know, I saw the best minds of my generation. But I think people like yourselves are beat. You, whether you know about their history or not, doesn't matter. But you kind of get that vibe in how you're living your life. I want to be myself. I want to be who I am. I don't fucking want pressures pushed on me to tell me to be this way or that way. Fuck you in your corporate industry, fuck you in your advertising, fuck you in all the other societal pressures that get thrown on us.
It is shocking too, isn't it shocking how fast everyone forgets things, like stuff, I mean, in your case, it's like the Beats, but whatever, like anything that was important to our generation or whatever, like within 12 years, everyone has forgotten everything. It's shocking to me.
I think John Lennon, I think John and Yoko and that, they're going to be known 100, 200 years from now. They will, those names will live on, because it's a Shakespearean story in a lot of ways. So
it's funny. It's like the Beatles are one of those bands that are cement now. You know, there's no way anyone's ever going to forget them.
Well, to us, they were our gurus. So it wasn't even the band. It was the band, but it was no. Hey, you guys are the leaders. Take us along on your ride.
Who's our Nirvana, maybe?
Maybe.
I think Nirvana. I got a lot of respect for Nirvana. I listened to Unplugged. Holy fuck, this guy was good, and the music is good. And I recently discovered them.
It's almost bad to be remembered in some ways. Like, you can't win. You know, either you're forgotten, or, like, my example I always think of is just Shakespeare. I mean, everyone remembers, and everyone will, but that shit doesn't even make sense anymore. There's no reason for us to be remembering that. But like, that's what's going to happen. If someone still remembers, you know, Nirvana and the Beatles in 200 years, it's going to be weird.
There's going to be some weird people who will like it, though. The mass won't. It might never appeal to the masses, but you always hope there's going to be quirky people like us in the future. That's what you want. You do not want the machine, the Star Wars image, you know, if everybody becomes these robots, to erase the individual. You know, we are the freaks, and you got to stay as freaks.
I think we're of a generation that everybody kind of believes they're a freak of some sort. Like, I find myself having more in common with people, millennials especially, than I ever did with people older than me. Yeah. You know, like Gen Xers. Because
How old are you?
I'm like a young Gen Xer. So I'm on the very cusp. I'm like almost a millennial.
Can we put a number to that?
Sure.
Old vain Joel. Well, I mean, we can figure out
I'm
if in
43.
The. Yeah, I was going to say in the first episode.
43.
Oh, I was going to be much older than that. You should feel good. You know, there. It's all a lot of wisdom for 43, is what I meant. Of course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really leveling out, right? Where, like, it used to be like, oh, Joel was the older one, but now 40 to 43, who gives a shit? We're the same age now. Yeah. Well, how'd that happen?
You had a hard time on the last Vinyl Countdown about your age. You fucking walking around with a dinosaur. That was pretty brutal.
Well, I think Mike and Ryan especially, that's just their favorite pastime on this podcast.
I've noticed people like to give Joel a hard time. It's sort of like you want to pile in, but I think he loves it. He's one of those people. Hey, look at
I'm not
going to
say
fine.
I love it, but it doesn't hurt my feelings. And when I listen back to it, it makes me laugh.
It definitely does. So yeah. But I don't think you like the title Rapist Joel anymore.
No. Definitely not.
No. That is a perfect example of Yammer.
That's one of the things in the past you could do, but we can't do that now.
Well, even when I was listening back to the old ones, it's so weird of just what we thought was a normal thing to do, where it was, we were having...
I didn't like it then, by the way.
No,
just
you
just
well,
so
I
you
know.
Know.
No, I came in quite clearly. That's why it kept up.
And it's one thing too, when it's just our core group of nonsense people. But one of the old episodes, I was just clicking through to make sure it uploaded okay. It was. It started with because we had Joel's wife do like you know our URL vinylcountdown.ca, say it in a nice voice. This one episode, I forget all about this. It just starts with her saying, "This is a test of the emergency faggot system." And I'm like, "Wow, we made that poor lady say that." We would never. Why would we think that was okay? But it was like 2011. It was a different world,
though. You know.
Well, because it was. We were making that joke ironically, like we're all fine with this. We're all fine with gay people. Let's just bring this back because it's funny.
Yeah.
No.
I'm running into that now where I started doing a podcast with one of my friends from when I was a kid that lives in Toronto. We started doing a movie podcast and we just fall back into it like we're 12 again where we just keep saying fag all the time. And I'm like, we gotta stop saying this. It's not okay anymore.
Yeah, no, it's not. And even like when we were like the few times the N-word was dropped on our podcast...
That's pretty rare, I would think. I don't really recall
it. Was rare, but we dropped
it. A guy who's no longer associated with this group? Would he be the one who had done it?
Yeah, it was mainly Picard. Sure.
Yeah, okay, let's be honest. But
I can't, but I mean, I definitely encouraged his wacky behavior, so, you know.
However, you don't often get guests like that.
The topic was brought up, and... Some of us, including us, said the word in full, not meaning it. It was more like a reference word, but at the same point, it was just sort of like we're still at that phase where we're like, oh, racism is over, so this is fine.
Yeah,
and then like a short 5 years later, oh no, oh racism is fully okay.
What was the word that you were saying?
Literally just today, on my way here, when I was in the Eaton Center trying to find a bathroom, and I was listening to old Busta Rhymes, and I was thinking, like, I can't give up. I can't give up that word just because I gotta sing along to old Busta Rhymes. Come on, all my
people.
Come on, my
people.
They be rapping with me.
See? There
like,
we go.
I can't let it go because I love singing his old songs.
No,
I
but
love
you
it.
Don't. So here's the thing.
It's all foreign to me.
Is in the comfort of your own home.
Or possibly the Eaton Center.
Yeah, and you're listening to hip-hop music, say it as loud as you want.
Yeah.
But in public, in anywhere that somebody... I found a good cheat is people. You can say the word people or or brother.
Come on, my people, come on.
Right?
Yeah, see? My people, they be rapping with me. That's a good one. I like that.
Right?
I can make that work. I can integrate
that. It's a good
cheat
if you're in public and you need to sing along and you want to say it, but you can't.
Yep.
People. That's the one.
Man, because it really is like, it's been weird to watch in the super, you know, media age and whatever, social media age. It's clearly for the best overall that, you know, like this crazy cancel culture and like people are finally getting called on their shit. But it is shocking how fast it became like a new control of like...
Well, it's a sport now.
Yeah, like you can't, if you say this, we're not going to tap you on the wrist. We're not even just going to punish you. You are done. You are destroyed.
I think there's a certain responsibility or need to push back a little bit and so on. Like, I felt that very much when I was very much into my criticizing Islam. Like, I really felt a lot of back pressure that was, somebody is thinking, no, you should, hey, don't go there. You shouldn't do that. And fuck you. That just made me more. Now I'm glad that I found out people who leave Christian sects are also having a very difficult time, and I can badmouth Christianity as well.
I would argue that because I listened to some of those podcasts that you did, and although they made me uncomfortable, it was also the fact that you were taking an atheist position.
Yes.
And that's very
it wasn't
different.
My religion is, but yes, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So like to me, if a Christian is bad mouthing Islam, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. But if an atheist is bad mouthing religion in general.
This one happened to be in the news recently.
Yeah. I think that's a little different. But at the same point, I'm a white hip hop fan. And white hip hop fans feel like we're allowed to say that word,
And because we're a hip-hop fan.
Because we're a hip-hop fan.
Yeah, that's
true, too. Because
that's
like,
really pushing.
But that example I brought up of Busta Rhymes, it's true. That's the only time I feel like, I mean, I can't sing along to Busta Rhymes. But other than that, I wouldn't use that.
I would say that the other time that I felt like I could drop that word randomly is...
It's funny, because only white people would be having this discussion, right? Like, hey, everybody else, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, you say this, you can't say that. Can I say this? Is it okay to say that?
But friends of mine who are black would definitely, like... If I said that word, there was one time I said that to one of my friends, and the look I got
I think it's enough. I think it's good that they've taken ownership of the word.
Yeah,
that people say, "Hey, fuck you. We got some power in this. Don't fucking do it."
Yeah,
we went through shit. We know the shit of our ancestors.
Yeah, we know how
we ended up here. And that shit is just fucking awful.
And you can kind of diffuse
slaves
stuff.
And it's only that recent a time ago. And there are some of you fuckers out there who still hate us because we're black. Like, fuck you, man. This has got to change.
Exactly.
And it's like amazing how any word against a white person has no power. Like, oh, cracker. Are you kidding? Who cares?
You know what's funny? I grew up in Quebec, in French and English rivalry. And we call them, what did we call them? Frogs. It was always frogs.
Oh, yeah,
frogs. And it's a stupid insult, you know. And
tabernacle grenouille.
Well, and Trudeau calling, a friend of mine posted on Facebook, how angry was it Trudeau, the father, for posting, you're just a mozi hot dog eater, you know. Just a biggest insult, you know. They got no sophistication whatsoever. But... Quebec, we're talking French and English. Yeah, so between the French and English. So they would call us and we'd go, "Mods teacup" or something. Teacup, like, oh, I don't mind that. Oh, the English, teacup, I can
actually
do that.
Actually, I can see how that would, like, if you did it right.
From their point of view, I think we're seeing it. Well, what does the matter being called a teacup? It's better than a frog or a Pepsi. Pepsi was the other big insult. Like, that was, wow, you've taken to another level in Quebec.
Shit.
Because the joke was they're drinking Pepsi Cola and eating Mae West for breakfast, you know. That's a real fucking Pepsi. You're not just French. You're a fucking Pepsi. Like, that is a... That's...
People.
Level.
Wow.
That's people.
Level. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
No, I'm telling you. No, that fits. Whoa. That was a legitimate use of the word.
Well, yeah, it is funny because it is. Yeah, just whatever power we give these dumb words.
White people.
Of America was the name of the book that the French saying, "Hey, wake up. We're being treated like fucking shit by the English. Let's wake up, man." And that book, and he needed that title to make that message. We're the white
people
of America. We're being treated like... And the change that happened in Quebec is amazing. My father's house sold to a French-Canadian moving in. It was... And when I grew up, dividing line. French, English, rich, poor. Middle class, poor. Here's English, 38th Avenue. Okay, the French are on that side. The English are on the western side of Lachine. And in Beaconsfield and Pointe Claire. All of that changed in the 70s. It was like it was the quiet revolution.
It was weird
and
with that.
There's an equality between it. And it's good for you. Your boss is French now. Yeah, you better fucking learn that language, buddy.
My grandmother.
All the other Anglos flew off like me to Vancouver or Toronto.
Like, my grandmother was born in like 1902 in Quebec and super French. Her name was Beatrice, you know, super thick accent. Hello, kids. But once she married into an English family, she refused to watch French TV or watch French movies or speak French. She just pretended she wasn't French, but she's the most French person I ever met in my life. But just from her generation, it's like, hey, I made it into the English world. I'm not going back. You can't make me. And it's just sad. Like, in our old folks' home before she died, like, it was mostly French people. It was in Gaspé. But she wouldn't associate with them. She only talked to the English people.
I feel being born in Quebec has made me a better Canadian overall. And I hold this against people from Alberta, generally. I love to throw it in their face. Because, it's the St. Lawrence River. Okay, where did the Europeans come from? This huge fucking river. They sailed the Atlantic. They found the St. Lawrence River. They came to Quebec City, Montreal. Then you get Lachine Rapids. You stop. But eventually you're getting into the interior of North America.
And, please.
You were just listening to our conversation? Because it's a good conversation.
I'm sure. What's on?
We're making, making too much noise?
No.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's the specific word.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. In my head, I was like, we need to bleep that shit. Thank you.
That was it.
Yeah. we have to bleep the word, maybe?
No,
no. Did you see the reaction that shit just had? We should bleep the word.
It was good. It was also positive.
So speaking of eternal, endless luck.
Yeah, man. Well, here's the thing.
I had no idea. I mean, that wasn't rehearsed, believe me. Or it wouldn't have been done.
But that's the power of that word, right? Like, you just mentioned it in context and got pounced on, right? Like, it's
so here, well, let's do a quick recap of what just happened. So
it was a great encounter.
I'm just going to do it myself because... being at the Imperial Pub, it's one thing I always forget about is, like, we're in our own little podcast world, and we haven't actually been here in many years. Apparently, two episodes back, I have no idea what this was about. I'll have to re-listen back, but Mike said some guy was really offended because I was saying weird porn shit and just talking about crazy shit, because we don't realize how loud we're talking and that we're in a public place. It just happens. So anyway, along those lines... Someone politely mentioned, like, hey, you guys seem to be, you're saying uncool words over here, and they're not very cool at all. But it led to Scarborough Dude making a friend, because he's the luckiest man in the world.
Well, also, I think once we explained the context of our conversation, it was pretty clear that is not a meeting of the KKK. Well, exactly.
We had to keep shoveling. We just had to keep digging, boys, until you get to the bottom of this, and it's going to be okay. But, you know, don't stop now and talk your way through this thing, which we did in all sincerity, and it ended up to be quite a beautiful exchange.
Yeah.
You know, a real Canadian exchange in a lot of ways.
I think that's the thing is, like, it's not the words, it's the ideas behind them, and when you can be courageous and say, this is what we were talking about, this is what we meant.
Well, context, as you said, meant everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the story.
Yeah, so it's just interesting that I mean, it's like a catch-22 of, like, yeah, we just had a nice little conversation with a dude about, like, hey, don't worry, we're actually talking about real things over here. We're not just horrible racists. But it was sounding like horrible racists is the only reason we got to talk to that guy. Isn't that weird?
I think that was groundbreaking. That was fucking groundbreaking what we just did, you know. I mean, this should go... CBC should be picking this up. I'm serious.
I agree with you. On all levels.
I don't know if all our listeners to the Vinyl Countdown will agree with that, but I think it's pretty... I mean, we the CBC would never go there. Fuck them, you know? They don't have the courage.
You know, but it's weird. It's like, yeah, because it's obvious we're extremely harmless fellows, but it is weird that, yeah, like, in order to kind of broach weird topics or ice break stuff, you kind of... It doesn't hurt to just be a loud, horrible-sounding person. That drives people over.
Who says there's anything wrong with saying the word?
Oh, there's lots.
We definitely used up our quota.
We're not going to repeat that. Yeah. Now would be pushing luck. See, that's the other thing about knowing I'm lucky. I also know when not to push my luck.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's probably a big part of luck. Yeah, it's just when not to push it. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
I think the other part of things is, like, understanding that, like, things mean different things to different people. And it's like you were saying, like, saying fag all the time. You know, like, there's people who are devastated by that.
Yeah.
And there's people who are, like, who are gay and who will also say that term loosely and don't care.
I have to recondition myself to the word they, because, like, to me, that's plural, period. And I'm wishing, why didn't you pick a different word? We could assign a new meaning to it that would mean whatever you want it to mean, but don't take away the word they, which we know as just a simple plural.
The trans community tried a few pronouns, and they got laughed down.
Yeah.
So I think they is kind of the one that they've all...
It may change again. This book that we're going to read, it's really good. And it's a guy, poor guy going up in, where it was... along the 401 somewhere, and just, small town, Ontario, and being beat up for being different. Anyway, park that topic.
So we got, I think we achieved whatever we could achieve being deep as hell today.
I think we did, and I totally enjoy this. This exceeded my hopes and expectations.
I love it.
It really did.
Yeah, actually, mine
it's not over yet. I'm not leaving fucking yet.
Great. Yeah,
no. Grab a fucking slice.
Yeah, but I don't know where we can go from there. Yeah, probably good to take a little drink and break. All right.
Let's
cheers.
Let's go smoke some weed.
Cheers, gentlemen.
That was fun. What you looking? What you looking for? Now tell me. What you looking at, nigga?
what? Now, what you looking for? Yo, all my niggas in the place, what now? Talk to my bitches all up in the place, and my niggas, they be laying all up in the cut now. Anyhow, I'ma do my thing and blow the spot, baby, let me bust a little nut now. Funny how the older bitches get familiar and try to give a nigga just a little butt now. Sing along.
Smoke line, nigga, get high.
And get all of this money, nigga.
Before we die.
Bitches, let me know that you up in the spot. All of my niggas just shouted at me.
Yeah.
Even though it's kinda ill, nigga, follow the flow. Nigga, let the way we shine, try to ball the glow. Watch from the sideline while I swallow the dough. I'ma do it to you like I never did it before. Not let me give it to you.
Flip mode squad, baby.
Now, what the fuck y'all niggas really know about the
God, baby? Baby.
Ha! Then I jump right out of the whip in the pocket. My pinky gleam like a motherfucking third of the Antarctic. Everybody get wild in the spot. All my niggas just piling the spot. It's such a shame somebody might just lose their child in the spot.
Come on, all my niggas, come on.
What?
My niggas that be repping with me.
What?
My niggas that be holding me down.
Ha!
And high stepping with me.
What?
Come on, all my bitches, come on.
Shit, when I bounce and I hit you with the flow, then I make it just act a fool. One, two. Why, like another man, nigga, they be ready to back a two. Here we go. A lot of motherfuckers, they ain't even got a clue. Come on now. Let me school y'all niggas permanently like a motherfucking tattoo. Come on now. Hey. No, you shouldn't
try it.
My nigga, before we do shit to
start up a riot.
Every time we come through, all the bitches shout. All of my niggas shout if you ready.
Yeah.
Let me blow for a few, nigga. Come on. Bounce in the street with the heat stashed under the seat. In a range this blue, nigga.
Come on.
Cats like you be stressing the crib over them weak link niggas in the cool, nigga.
Come on.
Every time a nigga come and step in the spot, your niggas know we come to blow the venue, nigga.
Come on. Hold up.
Wait, guess what? Flip mode to the rescue, nigga.
Come on.
Y'all know. When we put it down, niggas really wanna blow this shit. It's like I got a grenade in my hand and you know I wanna throw this shit.
Yo.
Everybody just stuck in the spot. You don't really give a fuck in the spot. Better watch your whip, because they might just tow your truck from the spot.
Come on, all my niggas, come on.
What?